talk about value creation. We all want things out of life. We want things that we value. To get things we value, we must produce value. That's how you get paid. That's how you make money. It's all about the value you create. I've recently brought on a team, started an agency, taking on multiple clients, all while running Wild Foods. And so obviously my recording schedule has fallen by the wayside a little bit, but then I'm getting back at it because as I build better systems, as I refine my schedule so that I'm less available, less phone calls and meetings, as I curb those things back, at first you need a lot of that. It's fine. You work all the kinks out, you get things done fast. That's fine. But as I curb that back and I create my systems and my routine, I'm getting back to my deep work routine and I have more space mentally and physically. Mentally to just not have so much fragmented attention, which just saps creativity and deep work, but also actual time to record like this. And so with the Better Human podcast, the project, my vision, I'm refining that as well. It's going to be the thing I do forever. So you'll be hearing more about that. The new schedule, if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube, is going to probably be twice a week. And I'm trying to spend a little bit more time on a topic, come a little bit more prepared. I used to just fire from the hip, record off the top of my head, and that was fine. But now I want to go a little bit deeper. Less is more. So with my team, I've been trying to coach them, train them, whatever. And a lot of it comes down to deep work in your systems. Deep work, shallow work, your systems, your routines. And as I think about this more and more, having hired somebody new that is new to this stuff, we have to be patient as he figures it out. Because like I've been doing this stuff for years. I can lock myself in my office and focus and work. Even then it's hard. You know, even then I have all these competing options of things I could do. I noticed that I haven't been recording much because I stopped doing TikTok and I was falling into some of my old speech patterns. I didn't like it. I did a podcast. I also didn't feel well. I was not feeling good that day. I was dealing with Cedar. So that definitely contributed. But I said like so many times and I was a little rambly at times. I wasn't pausing as much. And listening to that was hard. And so I was like, well, I don't want to go back to a daily recording schedule because I don't need to. I don't have the time to. I don't want to. But maybe twice a week. Maybe let's implement some of these less is more ideas, these deep focus, depth, value creating concepts around all of these principles that I'm realizing more and more I want to spend time helping promote, train people on, et cetera. And they're going to be very cornerstone to the Better Human Project. Because like I just started rereading Deep Work Again by Cal Newport. And what you find in that book is like, yeah, it's about doing deep work and getting stuff done as a knowledge worker. But there's also a lot of information research and just the angle is like, this is actually how you find meaning in work. In fact, today there was some research. Maybe it was the flow state or the flow book by Nihai Csikszentmihalyi or whatever his name is. But his thesis was that you can actually find more pleasure out of doing hard things, out of work, out of things that have some kind of goal, that have some kind of constraint, and that you can focus intently on versus leisure. Leisure is just like you're sitting around, you know, you're bored maybe, which can be good for creativity and it's good for resetting and stuff. But it's like, it might seem amazing to just sit in front and like watch movies all day when you're working all the time. That like sounds so freeing, so just relaxed and easy. But then you do it and you're like, this is so terrible. Or after like the second or third movie, you're like, I can't do it anymore. So that was very kind of highlighting for me and how to think about this. Something I've realized too is like why I tend to want to work and I want to create things and do things. Like I legit enjoy it and I enjoy the process, even though it is hard at times and it's annoying at times and you got to deal with all these other things that come around it. And you do have to do BS work that you don't want to do, like taxes and accounting and crap like that. And you got to deal with people that are annoying and or that just don't get it. And you don't really want to spend time trying to explain to them. It all comes with the territory. But the more I think on this, the more I realize this idea and I came up with this concentration value pyramid. You know, I don't really have a name for it, and the pyramid might be backwards. I might have completely done it wrong, but I think it's right. I think this makes sense, and I'll explain it to you if you're not seeing this. You can also find this. It'll be in the Better Human newsletter, betterhumans.substack.co or thebetterhuman.co. Get that. Subscribe, whatever. Okay. This is what I've been spending a lot of time coaching my team on. Just hammering it. Okay. The base of the pyramid. Actually, let's start at the top. So the top of the pyramid is money. Money is a proxy for value. There's a lot of other ways to create value and to generate value in life without money, whether that is just knowing people and them doing you favors and thinking about you, etc. So like there's goodwill, there's other things other than money, but money is just a simple proxy for understanding value, because in our modern economy, that's how we determine who's winning or losing, even though that's a very simplistic metric. And there's a lot of people that could be winning financially and losing in life. We all know that. But aside from that caveat or disclaimer, money is a sole purpose for every human alive because we need it to survive. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with money. In fact, money is amazing because it allows you to be more of who you are and do more of what you believe should exist in the world. And so if you're the type that makes people in the world better, then the more money you have, the better the world is. How is that not the ultimate thing to celebrate? So money's at the top, of the pyramid, the really tip top. What comes next from there, I'm going to go down to the baseline. Your systems and routines are at the base of the pyramid. Now, this pyramid might be wrong. I might have a couple of these things in the wrong place. I think it makes sense. So bear with me. At the baseline are your systems and your routine. And you could even say the aggregate amount of hours that you're going to spend working, like in having your routine of your work routine, your deep work routine, etc. That's at the base of the pyramid. And if I extend that, if I extend my systems and my routine and they're better systems and I get more time in those systems, using those systems, like more time working or producing, then my whole pyramid grows, right? If I shrink it, if my systems and routine is haphazard, if it's random, if I show up one day and I don't the next day, then my pyramid shrinks. Everything in that pyramid shrinks. Okay, that's why I think this pyramid analogy works. Next rung up, there's four rungs in this pyramid. The next one up is methods of creating value. These are the ways that you do it. Maybe you write, maybe you podcast, maybe YouTube, maybe you do sales, consulting, coaching, whatever way you create value for people. Maybe you connect people, you know, maybe you're a recruiter, I don't know. These are kind of like the ways you do it. And this area, we're always experimenting with different ways to do it. Some things produce more results than others. So like, you know, even within this realm, you have like an 80-20. You have the 20% of things that generate most of your results. Like for me, it's probably like product development, my newsletter, you know, running wild well and having a really robust customer follow-up process that I built through that company through years. Like that's one of my 20% activities. You know, managing my finances for that business and supply chain, definitely 20% activity, because if I stock out, I lose sales. And I tend to stock out if I'm not paying close enough attention. So that's definitely 20% activity. So on and so forth, right? Next up on the pyramid, which is really the core thing here that is the most important. You're trying to make this core part that comes right before making money. You're trying to make that as big as possible. And the way to make that as big as possible, if it's almost at the top of the pyramid, if it's one rung down on that pyramid, you have to make the things below it bigger. And, you know, this pyramid is all connected. So really, you have to go all the way down to your systems and your routine, make that bigger. That means so that the methods of creating value, you get to spend more time there, experiment with more things, do more things, whatever. And then this last piece that is the most important that I'm working on refining this idea, because I probably should write a book on this and I want to talk about this more and do training on this, but time spent concentrating. Okay. Time spent concentrating. Now that's why they say deep work is so amazing, because you're doing one thing at a time and you're deeply focused and you get into a flow state, right? Flow state, deep work, concentration, doing one thing at a time, going extremely deep as you can on something rather than going super wide on a bunch of things. These, all of these ideas converge, kind of swim in the same pool, and they're all in this time spent concentrating bucket or pool, right? The more time you spend concentrating, in a deep work flow-based state, which they kind of come hand in hand because you don't get very deep concentration without being in a flow or deep work-like state because you're getting disrupted and your tension is fragmented. So they come hand in hand, right? So time spent concentrating. Why do I have trouble saying that word? Concentrating is the single most important, or not even most important, it's just the, like your money that you make in life and the value is going to be exactly connected to your time spent concentrating. Now, this is, of course, in a knowledge society, knowledge work society. This may not have been the thing when you were a blacksmith, but even then, actually, it's funny enough, there was an example in the book of Cal Newport's book, Deep Work, about a blacksmith, a modern-day blacksmith, that makes swords the old-fashioned way, and he got this ball of iron or metal or whatever it was, and he was going to make a sword out of it, and it required him hammering it, heating it, and basically the process would take 8 hours just for the first step of that. 8 hours doing that. And that was a physical activity, but it required immense focus. And he talked about how the guy doing this got so much immense satisfaction out of it. And he talked about how he just had to do this thing. Like he wanted to do it. It was a flow activity for him. It was time spent concentrating. Time spent concentrating. The more of that you have in your life, the more money you will make. Now, I have on this pyramid methods of creating value in your systems and routines because these are important metrics you got to figure out. If you concentrate on something that is not producing or creating, like you're just studying, and right now you're increasing your knowledge base, that's great. But until that leaves you to produce something in the real world, you don't get paid for it. So as, for making money, these are all connected, and this is kind of how it works. You have your systems and routines, which ideally protect your time. So you can spend as much time as possible creating value, using methods to create value. And then the ones, all of them, but like the ones that generate your 80-20, those 20% activities, the more time spent concentrating on those 20% activities, the more money you create because the more value you create. Maybe you don't make that money right now. Maybe you make it later, but it's all the same thing. So don't confuse long feedback loops or long turnarounds. Don't confuse that for this idea. It's all the same. You can invest in a business for 2 years and make nothing. You could literally go in debt and then sell the thing or then make like a ridiculous amount of money over the next few years or whatever. It would all have been the same thing. You would take your time spent, how much time spent concentrating on that business, how long it took you, and then compare that to the financial rewards, and you'll see. So, there's so much like different ways to go with this. And I don't want to spend a ton of time. I got to make sure I'm recording. I'm recording. Good. Let's just review some of my notes. By the way, I've been using Logseq, which is a free open source app that's amazing. It's like Rome Research, but it's free. It's awesome. Highly recommend it. So we define concentration. Let's do that real quick. Concentration, the action or power of focusing one's attention or mental effort. I thought it would be a little bit more involved than that. Dealing with one particular thing above all others, that's probably a good way to put it. It's actually a combination of the two. So focusing one's attention or mental effort with or on one thing above all others. Yeah, that is the definition. And I wonder what the root word is. So the root word, what is to define concentration? Root word would be to concenter. Ah, there we go. So the term concentration comes from the word concentrate from the French concentrar. It's con plus or minus center, meaning to put at the center, to bring or come to a common center. Yeah. So center, focus, that's what I thought. Basically, you can't concentrate on two things at a time. It's only one thing at a time. And even if you multitask or think you're doing multiple things, you're actually just task switching. Because think about it. I can only look one area, one thing. Everywhere I look, my eyeballs are looking at one thing. And if I think I'm looking at multiple things, I'm not really looking at it because I might have some peripheral vision, but you can't really see your peripheral. It's kind of there. I'm looking at one thing. When I say a word, I can only say one word at a time. when you're doing one thing at a time and you're going as deeply into that one thing as possible, that's where the best work is created. It's where the most value you will create will ever come from. And it's more and more important in today's knowledge-based world because information is abundant. You no longer have the same opportunities where you can sell something, you know, without having to like really invest into understand the market or pricing or whatever, because people can just go on Amazon and like search for the thing, or they can just like go on Google and search for the thing. And if you're not selling it for a competitive price, then you're not going to sell it at all, right? And that's just like one example. We have a unlimited selection. And so value creation today is about combining unique things. It's about going deep. It's about, you know, 2 to 3 hour podcast episodes that just are long, like Joe Rogan, for example. And then you have it, the flip side of that is all the short form content, you know, the dopamine driven TikTok and Instagram, et cetera. People are always going to value the quality that comes from depth. And that's where you want to be. That's the pool that you want to swim in. That's how you want to think about your life, is the deep life, producing great work by going as deep as possible. To help with that, you have ideas like less is more, simplicity. I was looking at my garage yesterday, actually. I was sitting in the sauna. I was looking at all the stuff we have there. The whole garage is full. Now, of course, I have some product from Wild that I've been storing in between warehouses and stuff. So, you know, it doesn't totally apply, but I was looking at all my tools. I was looking at some of my woodworking stuff. And I'm just like, man, this stuff just owns you. It just fills up your mind and like your literal garage, but it also is a distraction. Why is it there? I got to think about it. Am I not using it? I feel guilty. I spent all this money on it. $900 table saw. I've used it 3 times. I'm literally selling it. Like, I just don't want it. If I want a table saw again, because I want to reactivate my woodworking habit, then I'll just freaking buy it again. Sell it, get rid of it. Free my mind, free my garage. And I've seen this in business too. Oh my gosh, have I seen this in business. The more things that you add, the more products that you add, the complexity grows exponentially. And what happens is you don't get to invest as much energy or focus into any one product. And so your whole business or your whole product line is a little bit watered down. Now, some businesses do a little bit better with like more products than others. It's like, you got to think about this stuff. You know, it's not hard and fast, but generally you should take the Apple approach. When Steve Jobs came back to Apple, after he'd been fired for like whatever, 6 years or whatever, he cut 87 product lines down to six or seven, maybe it was seven. Can you imagine that? Like 87, like imagine the amount of people that were like, just, oh, your project's dead. Nope. Everything you've done so far, gone. Poof. And probably a lot of people got laid off too. I mean, that is brutal. But look, Apple became the first $1 trillion company in history. Pretty much, if you have, like, probably the best company ever, ever. Crazy, right? You can find so many examples of this. And the thing about focus and scale and less is more is they're all skills. They're not going to come to you just because you read a book on it, or you watch a YouTube video, or you listen to this podcast, and you're like, yeah, I get it. That's awesome. Like, you have to be ruthless. You have to ruthlessly remove things from your life. Unnecessary projects, ideas, you know, like even good ones, you have to ruthlessly protect your time. You have to ruthlessly protect what you say yes to, say no to most things, etc. Now, of course, there's time and place to say yes to things. You say yes to things to get to the point where you can then say no because you have too much, or you have the thing you want to focus on, for sure, right? Obviously, different phases of life. Me with 3 kids, multiple businesses, you know, I should be saying no to a lot of things. I still say yes quite a bit of things, and I always kind of let them explore and go on. I'm not as ruthless like immediately to no. That's just mostly because I like to figure out like if other people are serious, or maybe this project has legs and it can kind of get some traction. And then when it does, then I'm all in. Can't stop me. The thing I have to say no to the most is all the ideas I have. So many ideas, so many things I could do. And the thing is, I know how to execute on them too. Like, I'm building the Better Human product line. I just got some pens in, these high quality metal pens with some quotes on them. We're going to do a journal. You know, these are things I'm going to do. And there are things I can do on the side. I can treat it as like a side gig or even just like a hobby, really. And I can build them and create them. And then when the products, when I have them, I can launch a website. That's very straightforward. All the basic supply chain stuff, all like basically the entire business is just a no-brainer. I can do it in an afternoon and have it all set up fully functional and as automated as possible because I've done it so many times. But then it's like, it slows down everything else. Like maybe with Wile, I could be investing all my energy into that and I could be getting much faster results. I mean, who knows? Now, the caveat here, the thing to think about is that some things in life do take time. You have to be patient. Like with Wild, I took the company back. It's been 6 months, 7 months. I've doubled the business. I've streamlined it, cut expenses. I mean, it's a very clean, good business now. And I took it back and I had to fix a lot of things. And I'm paying off some debt. I'm paying off some loans I took on to do that. And I have to kind of like, there's nothing wrong with letting the business grow 10, 15, you know, percent on average a month or year or whatever. That's fine. Like that's winning as far as business goes. So I shouldn't be thinking like, oh, I got to grow up 50%, 100% or whatever. Like, no, it's okay. Especially because I don't have an unlimited war chest to do that. So in cases like that, it's actually good to simplify. Make sure I'm not taking on too many things. Make sure I'm not launching too many new products, etc. And sometimes with a business like that, I've learned historically is I have to actually take a step back because my go, 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 more nature of improvement, testing, Kaizen, et cetera, tends to get me into trouble where I maybe take on too many things, launch too many products, whatever, and then I have all these invoices due. I have too much inventory of here or whatever, and it creates complexity. The key to being a really wise thinker, an effective thinker, is to take all these ideas I'm throwing at you right now and understanding when they should apply, understanding how they are principles, but as principles, you can also violate them if there's maybe a principled reason why, or maybe it's an experiment, etc. That's hard for most people to do because most people cannot think nuanced at all. We know this. Like, look at politics. Like, look at the madness of crowds. Look at human, any group of humans in a large number. So a couple other points here relate to the 80-20. This is something I want to do. Do an 80-20 analysis on your life, your business, whatever. What are the 20% of activities, the things that you do that generate 80% of your results? For example, law firm I'm working for as a consultant. His 20% activities are generating clients. He spends a lot of time on the phone with clients. I'm trying to explain to him that's an 80% activity. It's not actually generating him the bulk of his results. He needs to move to generating clients. And that's a combination of maybe networking, getting referral partners. In fact, I don't know a lot of the other ways he's even done that. That's kind of something he needs to figure out and then do more of that time there, right? I mentioned like with Wild, with my certain activities that when I do them, the business does better and I should spend more time there. So you should do that with everything in your life. Even maybe say 20% of things that generate 80% of your happiness, like getting together with friends, spending time with your kids, going hiking, whatever it is that you get the most enjoyment out of, making sure you prioritize that or maybe even do more of it. And to better do that, to better analyze that, and also just to have the time to even do it, less is more. Simplify, remove things. Less but deeper. I think it's good for now. You know, I think it's good for now. Got a couple things here. Okay, so here's a good one on deep work. 90 minutes of daily deep work is all you need to change the trajectory of your life. And he's got a bullet list here. Redesign, program, research, write copy, find something of interest and let it become your obsession. Here's another one. 7 tiny changes that will save you hundreds of hours. Schedule time blocks of deep work. Consume content at 1.5 speed. If it's not a hell yes, it's a no. Set limits on YouTube and Netflix. Minimize your wardrobe. I like that one a lot. I've been doing that. I've been throwing away so much stuff or donating it. Bulk cook on Sundays. Yeah, I mean, that's fine for some people, but I like fresh food. Track your time. Yep. Coolio. All right, get the Better Human newsletter, thebetterhuman.co, and subscribe to this. Maybe share with a friend if they need some help or if you think they can benefit from deep work focus, concentration. And then think about your life. How do you set up your life to have as much concentrated time as possible? Ideally, 90 minutes a day. So today, on Tuesday, I rack about 4. I've had some meetings. I've turned off my phone. Otherwise, I haven't even checked my phone since I woke up. And I keep feeling it pull me. I want to get back to that routine. I was doing that before. But then meetings and clients, things came up. I started checking it more. I need to get back to not checking it. Because even just right now doing this, I don't feel rushed. I don't feel hurried. I'm working on severing the link between the phone and people in the world and my brain. That's what you want to do. All right. I'll see you in the next one.